Our reading this morning is from John 15, verses 1 through to 8. It can be found on your pew Bibles on page 1093. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, 50 minutes. My word. That'll take us. We need not need to have an AGM then. I'll try and be a bit briefer. But I will share with you a picture that came to me as we were praying with the worship group and the other people involved up front in the service this morning. And that was of a child at a party playing pin the tail on a donkey. You know the picture, there they are, the blindfold round their eyes, and they're desperately trying to find or guess any place where the tail goes on this donkey who's just about to be pricked. And I had a picture of someone coming up behind them and taking the blindfold off so that they could see exactly where it should go. And I think that something about what we're about today and over the coming weeks and months and even years, that God wants to make it possible for us to see very clearly where we should go, so that we're not blindfolded, we're just guessing, but we're very clear about the target that God has for us as a church. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are the God who calls us not to some vague dream, but to a purpose that is clear, a purpose that is full of your power to fulfill. And we pray that we might today receive that sense of being able to see more clearly and hear more clearly where you are leading us, so that we might be fruitful in the harvest fields that you're sending us into. For Jesus' sake and for his glory we pray. Amen. So just look at that picture. This is as it is outside right now. This was taken on Good Friday. If anything, it looks even more spectacular with the sun on it. What does it say to you? This empty tomb in the Easter garden right here in Christchurch. There's one word that for me sums it up. And that is life. It's all about life in its fullness. Out of the darkness of the tomb, the pitch black of death, the stone is rolled away, and into the light and into the life of the new world comes Jesus. And the flowers around the tomb in full bloom speak of that life, new life, life that was dead and buried, we thought. We planted those bulbs. We gave the bulbs at harvest. We offered them as a sense of, Lord, do with my life what you would have it become. And those bulbs were planted in the ground, and now they have become in full bloom, and they are fulfilling their calling. They are in their glory. And so when Jesus speaks of himself as the resurrection and the life, whoever believes in me, though they die, yet shall they live, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? He asks his disciples, and he asks us. We want to say, yes, Lord, we believe that you are the one who is to come into the world. You are the life giver. You are the one who brings new life from the dead. Lord, would you take us on that journey? We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus at Easter. But I'm conscious that we don't always celebrate the life of Jesus quite in the same way. I am the resurrection and the life. And I think the focus for our vision of the church, as it's beginning to become more and more clear, is that it is life that our Lord wants us to enter into fully. Because Jesus said, didn't he, when he was talking about himself as the good shepherd, he said in John 10, verse 10, I have come that you may have life, and life in abundance. And at Christ Church, our vision statement has been learning to live the life. But I'm conscious that sometimes we are not always clear. We are sometimes groping about as if we are in blindfolds about what that really means. And I hope and pray that over the next weeks and months, we will all of us together help each other to take those blindfolds off and to see more clearly exactly what that means in practice. So this morning, in the next 45 minutes that I have left, I want to outline how we can work together as a church community to sharpen that vision and be clear about, one, what learning to live the life means for us as individuals and as a church, and how to help each other as we seek to follow Christ and to fulfill that invitation that he makes through us to others to experience this new kind of life. So let's first of all look at what does this learning to live the life look like. And the big question that those of us who have been meeting together for several months now have tried to establish is that we need to know what this life looks like. And we came to the conclusion that the most important thing is that we know what it means to be fully alive. What does it mean for a person to be fully alive? So we look at the example of Jesus. He was alive in two directions. He was alive, first of all, to God. He was aware, he was able to know in his heart of hearts that the Father loved him. The Father loved him unconditionally as he was. He was alive to the Father's voice. He could hear the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom my soul delights." And that, I want to suggest, is the most significant thing that any of us can hear. The question of identity, of who we are, is answered very simply. We are a person loved deeply by God. It's so simple. But we need to hear it, because we have these terrible earplugs in, that the experiences of life and the terrible things that have happened to us, all sorts of stuff, make it difficult always to hear that. And we hear lots of other voices telling us who we are, and they're all rubbish compared to this one truth. We are the beloved children of God. And that's what was at the heart of Jesus' life. He was alive, therefore, to the Father and to the voice of the Spirit. But he was also alive to the world and the people in the world. He loved the world. He loved the world so much that he came and gave himself for us. So he loved the world. And he noticed people. He noticed little Zacchaeus up the tree when nobody else saw him. He noticed the people around and heard the cry of the man who called out to him, "Lord, have mercy on me." He heard and felt the grief of Mary and Martha as they wept over the death of their brother, Lazarus. He was just alive to the joys of life and to the pains of life. And that was because he was full of love, and love is full of joy and deep, deep pain. He was alive to the beauty around him. Consider the lilies of the field. Aren't they absolutely incredible? He knew and saw the beauty of nature and the opportunities there were for human flourishing in that world. And the way that Jesus did it was through a very simple rhythm, characterized by what you might call breathing in and breathing out. Physical level, we breathe in and we breathe out. On a spiritual level, we also need to learn to breathe in and breathe out. We breathe in God's love, and that's through things like prayer, silence, listening. And we breathe out God's love in actions, gestures of compassion and grace, challenge, discipline towards others. We overflow with that love that we are full of because we've received it from Christ. So it's breathing in and breathing out. And that is a simple rhythm of living that makes it possible for God to bring us fully alive. Are you following me so far? It's quite simple. I'm trying to make it simple. Breathing in and breathing out. And it's the way that Jesus lived. Okay, so that's the first thing, that we become people who are fully alive, and we learn how to do it together. The second thing is thinking of ways that that can happen. How do we become more fully alive in practical terms? Well, in the reading that we had, or from John's Gospel, chapter 15, Jesus speaks of a deep truth in a way that is very, very memorable. In John 15, he spoke about himself as the vine and his Father being the gardener and us, his people, as the branches. And he said the key thing about the branches, if they're going to do what they're meant to be doing, is that they are rooted or connected to the vine. In verse 4, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you." We heard about the promises of God never forsaking us. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Now, this is very interesting. He's saying the purpose of abiding in the vine or remaining united to Christ is that we bear fruit. It is very, very clear what our goal is as God's people. It is to bear fruit. And he goes on later to talk about fruit that will last. And in that process, there will be things that are vital for that fruit to become as full and as rich as it can be. Things that we do not like to happen, particularly things like pruning. We know that for our roses to blossom in as full and as rich of blooms as we have in the garden, we have had to prune our rose trees pretty carefully, but radically. Jesus wants to assure us that any pruning that happens in our lives is something that God does. My Father is the gardener, and he prunes. He will use his people to do that sometimes, but it is through the wisdom of the Holy Spirit that that careful pruning will happen. But the purpose is so that we may bear more fruit. And so in this cycle of life that God has placed us in, the bearing fruit happens, but pruning is involved. Before that, there will be growing, things that enable us to mature and become all that God intends us to be. There'll also be before that the sowing that needs to happen for the life to begin in the first place. And over the next few weeks, we'll be looking at those four areas of sowing, growing, of pruning, and of bearing fruit. So I'm not going to say any more about it now, because they're key areas which we can use to look at our own lives and the life of our church. And it will be such a useful lens to look at. And it'll give us a structure, it'll give us a language to talk about this whole life cycle process. I'm really excited about what's going to happen as a result of this. We look at it in our home groups, we look at it in other areas, we look creatively at it. And it will be a great adventure, I promise you, as we look forward together as to what these things mean. But the purpose, Jesus says, is to bear fruit. Now that can mean many things. It can mean something to do with our own lives becoming more holy, like Jesus, the fruit of the Spirit. It can mean something to do with having an impact, you know, a kingdom-type impact in the world, making a difference, as we've heard much about already this morning. But the key thing that I see in this passage and in another passage, which I think is a parallel to it, is that the fruit that Jesus is looking for is the fruit of new life, of people becoming Christ followers as a result of our fruitful lives. People becoming new disciples of Jesus. And that is the fruit that Jesus is looking for. In Matthew 28, Jesus speaks to his disciples just before he leaves. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, you go with my authority and make disciples of all peoples, all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you. I am with you always to the very end of the age. I wonder whether there's something similar there to Jesus' words that he spoke later in this passage in John's Gospel. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. What do you think? Is there a connection there? Appointing, choosing, purpose? I think there is. And Jesus' vision for his people is that we are intentional about this whole disciple-making commission. Take responsibility, he says to his disciples, for enabling and equipping one another so that you might be disciples that make disciples, so that you might be people who are praying passionately for those who you meet on your front line and who do not yet know this life in its fullness that out of love God longs for them to have. And if you love me, you'll obey my commands, he says. And my command is to go and make disciples, enable them to know that life in its fullness so that there is a real sense of the church becoming fruitful. Because the purpose of fruit, of course, is that it falls to the ground and the seeds in it, they get into the ground and then they all multiply and they start to grow and there's lots and lots more of them. And the purpose that God gives us is to seek to be people who look not only to ourselves, but to others. And I once heard somebody give this great talk on evangelism in the church in Wales. I don't remember anything else about it, but I remember him saying, the greatest form of love you can show anybody is to help them know me, know Christ. It's, you know, what more can you give to somebody than lead them to Christ? I remember the person who led me to a place where I could make a connection with Jesus. His name was Richard Kilgour, and he prayed for me when I was in school, and he talked to me, answered some of my questions. He wrestled with things that he didn't understand either, but he then took me to a place where I could experience the message of the gospel. And I responded to that gospel and I gave my life to Christ when I was 17. But he didn't give up there. He helped me to be nurtured in that way of living. He invited me to a small group and to his church, and the whole thing began to become something very similar to what we hear in the scriptures. When Jesus said, you make, you mark in baptism, and you mature. And that's what our calling is as God's people. The heart of God's vision for us. And I pray that in the coming year, all of us at Christ Church Down End would experience the new life of God, the life of God's people together, as we seek to help one another and equip each other to be intentional about learning how to respond to people where they are. And at the back of the church in the reception area, Mike Parsons has brought a huge display of different sorts of books and resources that can help us do that. Have a browse, have a look. Don't take them away, please, they're just to look at. But just have a look and see what's there. There's loads of stuff that can help us. And we want, as a leadership team, to commit to supporting everyone in that process. But it's something that we do with one another and for one another. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it in abundance. It's all about life. It's all about knowing Jesus as the resurrection and the life, and finding through that gift our lives becoming fully alive in Christ. May we pray.